Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave, and happy Valentine's Day to you. That rascal Dave Solomon, in the wee hours of the morning, sent me a Valentine's Day card. He never forgets a birthday or Christmas or any kind of, I don't know, name a holiday. Dave Solomon never forgets. One of my great friends, just one of the best voices in the whole world, too. Happy Valentine's Day to you, my friend. For some of us, it's a single awareness day. Yeah, I heard that this morning. I had to steal that. Somebody on Facebook wrote about that. We're going to have a bunch of great songs. Honestly, we do. 2 hours worth of them. It's going to be a real mixed emotion kind of day, not just because of Valentine's Day, that's secondary, but because of the loss of Whitney Houston over the weekend. And man, I have been just trying to buoy my spirits as much as possible. Maybe you feel that way too. We're going to try our best to make sure you get into a love zone today. Scott Allman, A-L-L-M-A-N, just like the almond butter. Scott Allman comes your way at 3 o'clock today, Eastern Time. And of course, you'll hear this in the archives later on, but Scott Allman, one of those great, great pianists, composers, Renaissance guys, because he's also the president of his own architectural firm. Yes. Valentine's Day kicks off with Duke Ellington and John Coltrane on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
When the summer came, you were not around. Now that summer's gone and love cannot be found, where are you, baby, when I need you? Like right now, my love.
Now, how's that for saying Happy Valentine's Day, huh? Usually, I would play three songs to start things off, and that's the usual thing anyway, three songs, but had to play that over 7-minute long piece by locally based Vic Frierson. Actually, Southern based originally by way of New York and now in Baltimore. This man is close to 7 feet tall, if he is not 7 foot. Just amazing vocal ability. That is a combination of Superwoman, Stevie Wonder, and the Brenda Russell song Get Here from Vic's CD called Throwback. Not Throwback, Throwback, from a couple of years ago. Just amazing work. Vic himself, honest to gosh, more than most people I know, there needs to be a movie about his life, because if I told you, you'd tell me that I was lying. But it really is that dramatic. And you can hear every lived note in that song, produced by his good friend Daoud Saeed on keyboard, with a sax solo there by also Baltimore-based Craig Alston. And man, just some great work. This is mainly an intensely soul album, but there's certainly flavor of jazz. And hey, truth be told today, this is real hybrid today. It's not that we're sticking to any particular zone, although everything sounds right together because it is Valentine's Day. Yes, and we had to start the set off with something that is just classic. Recorded in September of 1962, Duke Ellington and John Coltrane in a sentimental mood from the Duke Ellington and Train album from back in 63. Actually, 62, 63. Duke Ellington was 63 at the time. Coltrane was 36. And man, who knew that there was going to be that much chemistry? Aaron Bell on bass, Elvin Jones on drums in that mix. And actually, the song was composed in 1935 on the spot by Ellington in a North Carolina tobacco warehouse party. Everybody was feeling a little festive, and apparently there was not only some inebriation involved, a little drink here and there, but also women. And Duke Ellington recorded that, not recorded, but just thought up that song on the spot, and then lyrics were later added by Irving Mills and Manny Kurtz. So it got to be a real World War II favorite, and man, it's just been one of those songs that has stood the test of time for sure. And Scott Allman will. He is joining us at 3 o'clock Eastern time today. And, of course, all of this will be archived. But Scott is one of those contemporary jazz folks that really gets the meat and potatoes of what contemporary jazz could be via his keyboard. And it may have to do with the fact that he's got talents elsewhere in the architectural field. So he sees the big picture, if you will, because he plans ahead. You'll see what I mean. Just some breathtaking music ahead. Speaking of which, our Valentine's Day music continues. Now, some of these songs that you hear are real personal favorites. some convey to me, in the few instrumentals that you'll hear, a real love. It's a chemical reaction. Maybe you'll feel that way when you hear this by Earl Klugh and Bob James from the classic One-on-One. This is Carrie on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. heart, you know it's plain to see, like Adam was to Eve, you were made for me. You say the poison vine, breathe the fine wine, our love is easy. Ask me plainly, I would gladly say I'd like to have you round just for them rainy days. I like the touch of your hand, the way you make no demands. Our love is easy. Our love is easy, like water rushing over stone. Oh, our love is easy, like no love I've ever known. Physically speaking, we were made to last. Examine all the pieces of our recent past. There's your mouth, a taste. Your hands around my waist. Our love is easy. Every time we meet, it's like the first. Never growing tired of this endlessness. It's a simple thing. We don't need a ring. Our love is easy. Our love is easy, like water rushing over.
Yes, indeed. It is Valentine's Day. Can you feel it? Woo! Oh, mercy. Haunting vocal there. The chat room is alive and well, and man, they are making some comments about the music. Lot of folks going to be real blessed later on today. Maybe even right now, I'm not even sure. Melody Gardot, based in Philadelphia, though she calls herself a world citizen. Her story is so fascinating. We were talking about Vic Frierson earlier. Man, between Vic and Melody Gardot, oh my, such a young woman, and so much has transpired to her, for her, in her young life. That's Our Love is Easy from the Vince Mendoza arranged My One and Only Thrill, which is why it's just so choice. Vince and Melody had this great chemistry. Melody Gardot had an accident some years ago, and I'm noticing that when I go to her website, she toured a lot last year, and she's holding back. I see that she's doing the Cheltenham United Kingdom Jazz Festival in May, and then she's doing some dates in July. But Melody, because of the accident that she had, I don't know if she will ever completely get over that, because her eyesight was affected, and she needs to have help in standing. She usually wears some sort of visionary situation, whether it's glasses or whatever she needs, shading on the stage. But if you ever get a chance to see her, it is like this old soul in this beautiful young body. And she was inspired by folks so much from the past: Judy Garland, the Gershwins, Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, and this Brazilian composer and activist. What is his name? Gosh. Caetano Veloso. I have to do more research on him, but Melody Gardot really does gravitate to people that were way back then. And when you hear her and you close your eyes, you're not even believing that it's 2012. She's just an old soul. Lynn Roundtree, Gail Johnson, helping Lynn out on his trumpet. She's doing the piano. This beautiful piece, my favorite Lynn Roundtree song, Seasons, Kaylin's song from Soul Tree, the Soul Jazz Experience. One of my first guests on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, so proud. Alexandria, Virginia roots, D.C. roots, went to Florida A&M, now based in Detroit. Just really one of those expansive trumpet players that when you hear him, oh, it's a jolt in the best kind of way. So had to play that. It just conveyed Valentine's Day so much, as did Earl Clue on guitar, Bob James on piano, Carrie from One on One. Man, Earl Clue is busy. I just found out today that he's going to be at Blues Alley in March. Can't wait for that. He's also got that Weekend of Jazz coming up in Colorado in April. And among the folks that he's going to have there, Kyle Eastwood. Thank you, Daddy Clint, for doing such a great job at the Grammys, by the way. David Pack is going to be there. And Jake Shimabukuro, the ukulele virtuoso that was on Hawaii 5-0 last night. That was such a treat. Oh, my goodness. Bob James going to be at Yoshi's over the next few days with Howard Paul, who is a guitar player, not only a guitar player, but the president and CEO of Benedetto Guitars. So looking forward to that, I guess, in Oakland, folks, huh? Yeah. We're going to let the music continue, because there's so much I want to get to. Honestly, there's just so many great memories and so many people who are anxious to be healed a little bit since the passing of Whitney Houston. Most certainly, we're going to get to a song by Whitney. God bless her soul. Let's get to right now, while we await Scott Allman coming up at the 3 o'clock Eastern Time hour, Luther Vandross and Gregory Hines. Both of them passed a few years from each other. This is Gregory Hines' birthday, and I always remember Valentine's Day because of 2/14. You know what the song is. There's nothing better than love on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed that the night is almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love and no one could take her love away. Ooh, love wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear her say she's still in love and no one could take her love away. I wanna be loved. There's nothing better.
Thank you. think about your loving, the sunny evenings, the fun we used to share. Looking through the memories in my mind, since I've laughed and cried and thought it's over, now I realize that it's never over, only set aside. Thoughts are only you, wandering through the memories in my mind. How could love for real have turned so empty? I just keep wondering why. Will I ever find the love we shared together, you and I?
Now, you don't actually think that I would do a Valentine's Day show without George Duke? Come on now. From 1981 and the Clark Duke Project, Sweet Baby. Just so you know, first of all, congratulations to Stanley Clark. He was at the Grammys. He did not go away empty-handed the other night, Stanley. George Duke, by the way. Now, remember when he was on the show, just about a month or so ago now, he said that he was chafing, even more so now maybe than ever, about the notion that he was put into a box as far as, well, what do you play, George? It's not necessarily jazz. You know what? He just wants to play what he wants to play. So I noted with interest that the advertisement I got for the new Soul Train cruise in 2013 features George Duke and a bunch of other folks that we need to investigate. Actually, I think everybody in the chat room that's right here, we should all investigate getting on that Soul Train cruise. The initial launch, now that, gosh, who has taken over the helm? Magic Johnson has taken over the management, I believe, of the Soul Train empire. Don Cornelius, God rest his soul. But it's in capable hands now, man. Woohoo! George and Stanley right there. We also heard another Stanley, Tarantine. Someone to Watch Over Me, one of the definitive love songs of all time from 1993's Ballads. Stanley Tarantine, Mr. T, the Sugar Man. God bless him, that rich, warm tenor. Miss him so badly, passed away in 2000. Born in Pittsburgh, just did so much great work with Max Roach and Jimmy Smith, married to Shirley Scott for a number of years. Then when their professional and personal relationship broke up, he fled to Fusion in the 70s, worked with Freddie Hubbard, Milt Jackson, George Benson, Bob James, and spent his last years in Fort Washington, Maryland. So a lot of us in the state really have some real beautiful memories of Stanley, and passed away in 2000. I just can't stand it that I'm playing some of these folks that are no longer with us, just like Luther and Gregory Hines. Between the Sheets is where I got There's Nothing Better Than Love, which came out in 1986. And on that particular compilation, which was Sony's first installment in a series of sexy soul compilations, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Teddy P was on there, Isley Brothers, Bloodstone was on that first one. Oh, and that song right there. Gregory Hines, what a amazing career. And I was just refreshing myself with Gregory and what he had to say while he was still with us. Oh, I loved him so much. Still have a crush. Look for the tap dancer with an overbite still. That's the dream man. But Gregory Hines was one of the folks who visited Sammy Davis Jr. in his last hours, and Sammy could no longer speak because he had throat cancer. But he was able to communicate to Gregory that he felt that Gregory would keep that torch burning of Sammy's life transferred to Gregory. And Gregory was so touched by that. Man, I can just imagine. Luther passed away in 2005, and he is my special angel. I know that I've told this story before, but I'll just tell it briefly. Luther passed away in 2000. There was a wonderful disc jockey who was at WSMJ in Baltimore who was doing a tribute to him. I was in tears. I tried to get in touch with Bill on the air. Instead, I got a live program director named Lori Lewis, and she said, "Tell me about you." So within a few weeks, I was in her office, and within 5 minutes, she offered me a job on WSMJ, and the rest is history. The station is no longer, but by golly, the jazz lives on, doesn't it? And we're going to keep on keeping on with it. Scott Allman comes your way at the top of next hour, and what music are you going to hear? Oh, it's going to be neat to talk to him. Let's go back, shall we? Let's go back to Ella Fitzgerald's prime. Love Is Here to Stay on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
It's very clear. Our love is here to stay, not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancy, and in time they go. But, oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together in time, the
very thought of you my heart sing like an April breeze on the wings of spring, and you appear in all your splendor. The shadows fall and spread the mystic charms in the hush of night while I'm in your arms. I feel your lips so warm and tender.
So sweet. From Chris Botti's CD To Love Again, the Duets from 2005. That's his good friend Paula Cole. My favorite version of My One and Only Love, just because I believe every note she sings. And when she gets to that point where she can barely get it out, oh my gosh, woo, just want to cry. So tickled to find out that she's coming to Ram's Head in our area, Annapolis, Maryland, in March. That's really, really nice. Chris Botti's always touring. It's a little trickier to see Paula Cole because she doesn't tour as much, but when she does, oh my gosh, your heart just sings. Woo-hoo! She is so fantastic. We heard, too, actually, we've got somebody coming up, and somebody we just heard that is regionally based, Eddie Backus Jr. on sax from his CD, Journey to Love, and the track you heard was I Adore You. Eddie, of course, gained some recognition when he was with Pieces of a Dream, and I'm sorry, but Pieces of a Dream haven't been right since, because he is one of the penultimate of sax players. He's so adorable, and when he is into playing, it's as if, I don't know, maybe his dad, Eddie Backus Sr., who was just one of these great organ players and visually challenged, and when Eddie was growing up, his dad had such a powerful influence on him, and still today, if you say Eddie Backus, he corrects you and says, no, Eddie Backus Jr., you make sure that you include my dad as Eddie Backus Sr., I am the son of Eddie Backus. So it just shows you what kind of character he has, and it comes out when he plays. Ella Fitzgerald, oh my goodness. That song, Love is Here to Stay, which some say is Our Love is Here to Stay, but it was finally published as Love is Here to Stay. Originally, of course, it's a Gershwin song, and originally in the Goldwyn Follies, with a lyric by Ira Gershwin, of course George wrote the music, that was in 1938, right after George had passed. And many people have done it through the years, but you know Ella Fitzgerald. When she does it, especially in her prime, because I believe she was about 41 when she recorded it, man, it was just top-notch. And where we got it was from the complete Ella Fitzgerald, but you can also find it on Ella Fitzgerald Sings, the Gershwin Songbook. Scott Ullman coming your way at the top of next hour. I promised you another regionally based act, Charles Arnett on piano. He is an instructor of music at the Baltimore City Community College, and I wanted to play this song in a spare way. This is a shortened version of this. You remember West Side Story. It is Valentine's Day. And one of those storylines in West Side Story where there was hostility because of a relationship. And you know the lyric, hopefully, to this song somewhere. Whew! If you don't, you've got to get a hold of that soundtrack or you've got to get a hold of the lyric. But for those of us who know the lyric, the music is powerful, especially when it's done this way. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, from Charles Arnett and Company, from his Love Songs CD, this is Somewhere.
Sad and lonely, for you I sigh. for you, dear, only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul.
I spent my days at a hunger and wondering why
I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you turn away romance. Oh.
Are you pretending?
My life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours, but just a second.
The ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear,
my life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours for just the taking.
I gladly surrender.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
One day we walked along the sand, one day in early spring. You held a piper in your hand to mend its broken wing. Now I'll remember many a day and many a lonely mile. The echo of a piper's song, the shadow of a smile. The shadow of your smile. When you are gone, will color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes, my love, and see all the lovely things you are. wistful little star. Was far too high. A teardrop kissed your lips, and so did I.
My goodness. Tony Bennett has been on my mind so much since the Grammys, and actually even before, because I'll just save this, because I just told a couple of folks in the chat room and they went, what? It's just hard to imagine. I think that I am the oldest person among the group of folks that I see in the chat room right now. But when you grow up with an artist, when you were a little girl, you heard them? And got to see him at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and know his story. And you might think that you know the story of Tony Bennett, but let me tell you something. You know half of it. He has, God bless him, an up-to-date website. And I'm just stating my gratitude to his children today, because they saved their dad at a time when he really needed them. And here he is going to be 86 years old this year. And sounds wonderful. If you saw him the other night at the Grammys with Carrie Underwood, I didn't necessarily need Carrie Underwood. God bless her. I appreciate her talent, but Tony could have been on that stage by himself. You heard him just now, The Shadow of Your Smile, that beautiful Johnny Mandel song with lyric by Paul Francis Webster, originally from the motion picture from 1965, one of the best, Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, The Sandpiper. That was the love theme. Jack Sheldon in the original song played the trumpet. God bless Jack Sheldon, who you might have seen through the years doing a lot of comedy, but man, what a great musician he is. Then we heard Tony Bennett with the song that won him a Grammy, and Amy Winehouse, Posthumously. You heard Body and Soul from Tony Bennett, The Duets, Part 2. Man, is that a song and a half? Oh, geez, it hurts so much to hear these beautiful voices, and you know that hopefully there's a whole big body of work that has been saved, but to not hear them again when you have so much hope for recovery. And I mean Amy Winehouse, and I mean Whitney Houston, and we are going to get to a Whitney Houston song before Scott Allman joins us at the top of next hour. Just want to let you know again, you heard Charles Arnett from his Love Songs CD, and that was our beloved Tony Bunn on bass, and Charles on his Yamaha Grand, and Jimmy Taylor on drums, and some other folks that David Smith, Garfield Webb, and Jake Mothman was the engineer for that, somewhere from West Side Story. Just so beautiful. Let's get to our last half hour of music before we get to Scott. I had to play this. Good heavens, took me by surprise that even though this song is from 1996, Slim Man, we go from Mr. Benedetto to Mr. Campaneschi, a.k.a. Slim Man. Slimmy just did a new video with, we're presuming, his new lady love in the video. I'm talking about Valentine's Day on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, you'll enjoy this so much.
there's a light in the moon, shining down on me. It's such a long way home back to where I wanna be. Back in her arms again, look into her eyes. Heaven must be this way, she's an angel in disguise. When I hold her, I'll never let her go. Every day with her is Valentine's Day. And every night in her arms is paradise. Her smile is a full moon, her laugh is a sunny day. Has a way about her that makes me feel this way. Yeah. Romeo, won't you carry me home? Back to the one I love, back where I belong.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Mm-hmm.
it is tough to play Whitney Houston. Oh, my gosh. Imagine what folks did that weekend when we had to tell some folks that she had passed away. Just tough to process that Whitney Houston, at the age of 48, is not here on earth, always in spirit. And there is a picture of Whitney being passed around on Facebook that is just so beautiful. My gosh, as an angel, I truly believe that. I know that Miss Sissy got her baby girl, and Tyler Perry's plane was involved. He made sure he got the family and said, I want to be able to fly her body back to New Jersey, and I know they've, I don't know if they have the service plans formulated yet. Phew, but yeah, that should be in the next several days. That song right there from The Preacher's Wife, I Believe in You and Me, Whitney, not the first person to have tackled that, but I'm not sure how folks are going to remember that song in Whitney's possession or in Levi Stubbs from the Four Tops possession first time around in 1983. Sandy Linzer and David Wolfert wrote the song, and just one of those beautiful pieces of work. You talk about a definitive Valentine's Day song, huh? Right there, Whitney Houston, I Believe in You and Me. And also, so ironically, David Houston also did that song, and David, of course, passed away the same day as Don Cornelius, just several days ago on the 1st of February. February has been a horrendous month. Can I just say, I'm just going to get it out of the way, and I'm just going to believe that things are going to get better from this day forward, because we have had some deaths in the family this month. My goodness, I just hope that folks take care of themselves, and we really do have to do this. We have to get in people's faces about taking better care of one another, don't you think? I do. Miles Davis, My Funny Valentine from Miles Davis Plays for Lovers, a collection of songs from the mid-50s. Wasn't that sweet? From a core of band members that consisted of Red Garland, Paul Chambers, Philly Joe Jones, and John Coltrane. My Funny Valentine. We heard two from Esperanza Spalding. I Adore You, from not only a CD that is a really cool CD. I want to get it out so I can give you the exact title here. It's actually from her debut, Esperanza, from what, 2008 now? And of course, she won for Best New Artist, a jazz artist, last year at the Grammys. Grammys took a different flavor this year, huh? The New Jazz Divas is something I want to pass along to you. Esperanza is on that, along with Ledisi, Liz Wright, Tierney Sutton, Patricia Barber, Diana Krall, and more. Very, very interesting stuff. Esperanza going to be in a myriad of places this year. I have seen already at her website that some of these places, these are big, big venues now. They're already sold out. As you might well imagine, she's going to be in Philly, too, at the Electric Factory. Brings back some memories. We heard, too, from Slim Man, Valentine's Day, from Closer to Paradise, from 1996. Yes, indeed. That song has a bit of mileage on it, but, well, truth be told, so does Slim Man. He's not going to mind me saying that. But he's actually got a new video out so he can show off his romantic interest, Patty. Beautiful, beautiful new video. Beautiful song, Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah. Speaking of beautiful songs, we got a whole passel of them. And they're coming from Scott Allman, who's coming your way in mere moments. Just very impressive, this debut, Generations. Can I just say, oh, my gosh. You know, I like all sorts of jazz. I love the straight-ahead stuff. I like a lot of the contemporary stuff, although some of the contemporary stuff sometimes leaves me cold because there isn't the soul. And Scott has a way of bringing that and a lightness of being and a fresh perspective. And, of course, he's got Darren Ron, too, so things can't be that bad, right? So I thought we usually do three songs for an artist that's going to be featured for an interview on the show. And I thought, this is so cool because there are some songs on this CD, Generations, that are like courtship, and then there's a relationship getting serious, and then it takes the big step. So I thought, let's just go in order here. One of the songs from Generations is this really very breath of fresh air song called Flurry. I'm going to play that for you now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Scott Allman on piano and Darren Ron on saxophone. Okay, so here is the scenario. Now, I just posed this before I played that song because I'm listening to Scott Ullman's Generations, and I'm thinking to myself, ooh, there's some real big cohesiveness in this. I just love every track. Everything's a little different. And I'm feeling, I was thinking on Valentine's Day, and this is exactly why I wanted Scott to be on the show on Valentine's Day, because I was picking up, oh, I'm getting a little charged here, because Flurry sounds like the thrill of that first date. Oh, there's promise there. I'm smelling hope. I'm smelling the coffee. There's a real feeling that something could be going on with this. What is it? What is it about this person? And then I thought, oh, there's another track on here that really is picking up the pace here. This relationship's really progressing. And then we get to the final stages. But I say all this ahead of time. Let us now introduce to you the person who made all that magic possible, composer, performer, publisher, architect, just a typical guest here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Scott Ullman, how are you?
I'm good, Trish. How are you?
I'm real good. You're in the chat room, too. Yay!
Yes, I am, although you might have to give me a little direction on how to get some things posted here.
Oh, okay. Well, usually it's pretty cool. Usually it's no problem, and I guess the folks in the chat room will be able to tell you. I just start posting. I mean, I just start typing, and it's good to go.
Well, you know what? I will definitely figure it out, and hi to all your guys that are in there as well. Happy Valentine's Day, Trish.
Oh, the same to you, and you have a Valentine at home. So for those of us who are single, Scott, this is Singles Awareness Day.
It's a good day for that.
Yes, it is. And my gosh, aren't you so excited about this debut? Aren't you excited?
I'm really thrilled, I have to tell you. The the response has been fairly overwhelming, and we really went into this having no expectations, I'll have to say, which I think is probably the safe way to go about things. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great journey and learning experience for myself, and we've met some tremendous people along the way, and you certainly fit into that group as well.
Oh, well, bless your heart. And that's so funny that you didn't have any expectations. You didn't know that there was going to be such buzz, because there is a lot of buzz.
No, we really didn't. I have to say that music has been a really huge part of my life for a long time, it finally sort of came to the point where the right doors opened and the right pieces fell into place for this project to come and be performed and prepared. And having said that, we really didn't go into this thinking, this is just going to be a labor of love, and we'll try and get it out to as many people as we can. And it was almost one of those that, well, I'll just do this and, it'll be a project that I'll share with my friends and that'll be it. But it's really taken off, and I'm, obviously I'm thrilled, but, we're taking it one step at a time.
And now, I mean, part of the reason why it seemed like such a good idea to have you on Valentine's Day, not only because of the obvious, because there is an overall feel of romance and passion and hope in this CD, in case nobody has ever told you that, Scott.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. I think that music is one of those global languages that can speak so many different emotions. But I've always felt that just sending a message that is, positive and does have that hope is really more what I want to be about. So a lot of times that's hard to do with instrumental music. When you have lyrical music, you convey a lot of meaning. With instrumental music and jazz, which comes in so many flavors, as you have been attesting to, it's really hard to find that voice sometimes. But I'm delighted that is the response we're getting, and I think it is an uplifting and positive feeling record. And we hope that that will be a positive influence for some people.
Well, two things to say. First of all, certainly it was a no-brainer to think of you on Valentine's Day, because
well, thank you.
This universal language of speaking to people without words via instrumentation is real important, because I'm thinking of the various kinds of folks who can be listening to your music, and it's across the board as far as ages are concerned and ethnic varieties and religions,
sure,
all different kinds of cultures. And it really does speak to love a lot of what you feel. It just resonates when you hear it. But then, I mean, this is like the cherry on top of an already delicious ice cream cone. You're going to have a CD release party soon.
We are. Yes, we are. It's going to be here in the Chicago area, coming up on March 10th, which is a Saturday.
Yeah.
Darren is going to come in and be a part of the show, and we've got some other special guests that are going to be joining us. I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to be a great night of jazz and some great friends that are going to be there.
And it's funny because if you go to Scott's website, which is Scott Allman Music, you have to get that music in there, .com. It's so funny because you actually said that there will be a host of other jazz maniacs.
That's right. We are jazz maniacs.
I love that. Oh, I I'm going to steal that because.
Yeah, please do.
Those of us who.
I think we need more maniacs in the world.
We really do, because you know what, Scott? Honestly, there's a lot of people out there who will say to you, and you have to really get it out of them, but they'll say to you, yeah, I do jazz and I do other, I do stuff besides jazz, but yeah, I do jazz as well. But for those of us who are consumed with the genre, and you are so immersed in getting all the creativity that you can within contemporary jazz, I really do have to applaud you, because honestly, I'm hearing every track on this generation CD, and everyone has a little bit of a different feeling. And each time I listened the first time, I went, oh. It was real. It was like a full meal, and I was full when
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
There
is a lot. There's some diversity, but I think as you mentioned, there's a little bit of an overall theme that we've tried to apply that captures everything. And part of that is just, of course, trying to find your voice, right? I mean, the jazz community, global as it is just an ocean of unbelievable talent, and there's some fantastic artists out there. Too many to mention, as you know. So, trying to find kind of what your voice is and how you fit into that larger mechanism is tough. And I think that this project and future projects that I hope to do will continue to kind of hone that sound and make it what it is.
And, Scott, honestly, this is going to be so exciting to see what the global reaction is to you. There's a lot of humility in you, and thank God for it. And that really resonates well when you go to Japan, first and foremost, or the UK, or France, any of these countries that really love jazz and what the feel is and what you are trying to convey. They know that if it doesn't have the ring of truth for them, they're not interested. So this is just the scratching of the iceberg. This is just the tip of it.
I can only hope you're right. That would be such a blessing. And, the places that you've mentioned, Japan and the UK and other places in Europe, we have gotten some feedback from. I know that there are some folks in Japan that have bought the record and are enjoying it. We've had a real good response in the UK, and it's being played over there on internet radio and otherwise, and places like France and Spain. So certainly those are different cultures in many ways than our own, but this underlying language of jazz certainly transcends those. And that's been a bit of a surprise for me, I have to say.
Really?
Being able to reach out across the continents and was really not something I expected to find as much. And just learning that, although we may speak different languages, we really speak this common language of music and jazz, and that's been fun. That's been really great to find some connections around the world.
Oh, wait till you start to tour a little bit and then see people in the audience crying because they really associate with the song. I mean, here are these beautiful Japanese faces, here are these beautiful faces in Africa, and different kinds of colors and hues, and they're all feeling the same emotions because of what you have been able to convey with that keyboard.
Yeah, well, that would be a tremendous picture, and a picture's worth a thousand words, but that'd be a beautiful thing. And I think, you know, a lot of these songs will convey different things for different people.
Yeah.
And that's terrific, too.
Yeah. And how is it that you, because I love this idea, that you went to the University of Pennsylvania to study architecture.
I did. Yes, I did.
And you have your own company.
I do. I'm president of an architecture firm here in the Chicago area. And it's interesting. Music has always been a big part of my life, and other, you know, artistic and creative outlets, and architecture became one of those creative outlets for me as I grew into adulthood. But you know, there's always been for centuries. There's been some sort of unspoken relationship between music and architecture, and I've always found that somewhat fascinating. And in fact, part of my thesis at Penn was focused on that relationship and what those
really?
Two different art forms, how they can inform each other. And so I wouldn't say I'm a expert in the depth of how you can, you know, take that relationship. But it's certainly an interesting one that I have looked at in those two different areas of my life. They both have rhythm. They both have an experiential component to them. They're both sort of global languages that speak cross-culturally. So it's been fascinating for me to walk kind of both of those paths somewhat simultaneously.
Wow. And that's really interesting because, honestly, Scott, I just thought about that this morning. In saying after every set for the first 2 hours of music on the show, I would say Scott's going to be with us at the top of the 3 o'clock Eastern time hour. And I thought about you being an architect and your course of study and the fact that you have composed as well as perform. And I thought, I wonder how much the planning for the architecture, the fact that you must be fastidious according to detail, comes really easily.
It comes in handy, yeah.
Yes. How about that?
You know, what's interesting is that, I know this is very likely true with many, many different art forms that are creative and that have sort of a birthing aspect to them. When you begin to create something, whether it's a piece of music or a building or a sculpture or a poem or a book or, you know, whatever it might be, there's a lot of yourself that you invest in that up front. And there may be other sources and other collaborators or inspiration that adds to that. But then at some point you get down that path and that creation, whatever it might be, begins to take on a life of its own. And at some point you almost let go of it and it takes off and goes where it wants to be. And that's certainly true. I find that to be true very often in music composition. And it's true also in architecture and design.
That's so funny because what you just said is more or less what I found last night and posted to Facebook about learning how to play the piano. First, you have to know the rules, and then you have to throw the rules out the window and follow your heart.
I saw that. Yes, I saw your phone. Right. And there's a certain truth to that, for sure.
Wow. That's really amazing. What came first for you when you were growing up? Did you gravitate to music first, or did you just like to assemble things?
I really gravitated to music first, I think. I've always been artistic, visually and graphically as well. But music has always stirred those passions in my soul in ways that nothing else does.
Mm. And were you always a little boy who liked the idea of a piano, or were you thinking about a saxophone, or did you like the guitar? What music
no,
were you,
you
listening
know, I,
to?
I really, yeah, I, piano has always been my heart's instrument. I took a couple of years of lessons when I was in elementary school and hated every minute of it. I just kind of stuck with it through the years. And after that, really became more self-taught than anything else. You know, the late, I grew up in the 80s. I was a child of the 80s synthesizer movement, became fascinated with groups like Tangerine Dream and some of these guys that were really avant-garde with what they were doing with music. And that, you know, sort of led into exploring jazz as a medium.
Wow. And what were you listening to certain acts when you were growing up? Was there a definitive time when you said, oh, my gosh, this is how I know I want to pursue.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The one of the first songs that I particularly remember as a child that really resonated with me and thinking, you know, now this is a groove I can get into, was Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I'm dating myself a little bit, but that was really one of the first songs that, you know, in popular music caught my attention. And, you know, again, going from there, that led to all these other things.
That's funny, because now that you say that and saying that you were a child of the 80s, I finally realized that when I was hearing your album, I was getting, sometimes you make these associations, and sometimes you can't even articulate, sometimes because they're so important to you that you don't even want to think about them, or it brings back a memory of a song that meant so much. Not that they, you know, had a string of hits, but for a brief and shining time, there was a husband and wife act called Boy Meets Girl. And
oh,
there
sure.
was a Waiting for a Star to Fall.
Uh-huh.
And it hit me right between the eyes when I heard that song. It took my breath away. And your music had the same impact on me.
Well, I'm sure there are some deeply rooted subliminal inferences back from a lot of music in the 80s. You know, it's love or hate, right? The 80s music, people
right.
have sort of a love-hate relationship. Everybody really loves it, but nobody really wants to admit that they do.
Well, you know what? I think that the hair gets discussed too much because there was some great 80s music.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You got to look beyond the visuals.
And actually, I was reminded of that because Christmas wasn't that long ago. And, of course, you know, on TV and if you are looking for videos to find, people are posting this favored item from the 80s. It was Vince Vance and the Valiants. What was the name of that song? All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? And that was the shining moment for the hair in the 80s. But meanwhile, the woman's vocals on that track were so incredible. I mean, yes, there was a similarity with a lot of different music in the 80s, but look, a lot of people have favorite memories from the 80s about favorite songs.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, I think a lot of people, in terms of the music that they like, regardless of what it might be, is because of those memory associations that we have. You know, people gravitate toward a certain style or a certain song or a certain group because of what it reminds them of.
And
that's,
absolutely.
You know, that's true from every generation and every era.
Yeah, and it's so funny because, you know, getting back to the instrumentation again, it's just amazing how one guest after another will say, especially if they've had a lot of albums out, some sorts of projects, that everybody has always been astounded that when they go to different countries or different cities in the U.S., there seems to be a gravitational pull to some of the songs, and everybody says the same kinds of emotions affected them. Isn't it wild?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think that speaks to an underlying, you know, language that we all have in within us, you know, the ability, the capacity to be affected by that passion and by that music. And, it, you know, some people, it takes a little more to pull it out of them.
Oh, yeah.
But it's certainly there, and that's part of our human nature.
Yeah, it really is. And now that you're doing your thing, how are you going to split your time, by the way, Scott? If you get a ton of phone calls in the next week or so saying, Scott, I really want you to play this festival in the summertime.
Well,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, I would love for that to happen. You know, fortunately, I'm really blessed to have a company that allows me some flexibility. I have some tremendous people that work with me, and I would love for that opportunity to happen. I think that I think all musicians, in a way, regardless of what you're doing, have some sort of, you know, multitasking career. And at least all the musicians that I know that perform and do all these other things, they all do like 12 or 15 different things, right?
Yes.
So whether they're teaching or whether they're, you know, doing session work along with playing, or whether they're doing, you know, 10 other things, producing, what have you, you know, we're all sort of multitaskers by nature, I think. So for me, this kind of just falls in line with that. I happen to have a job that is outside of the musical field. But, you know, I share my time like I think most musicians do. I spend a lot of late nights doing what I love, and I spend some time during the day doing other things, and I think that's kind of part and parcel with what it is.
What is exciting you these days about music? Are you seeing a trend or something that's really turning you on as far as where jazz is going? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and particularly because in many ways, this is, although I've been a follower and a lover of jazz, you know, for decades, it's new in the sense that, you know, as a participant now, I have a slightly different perspective. And I think for me, one of the most exciting things is some of the diversity that we're now seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of that is simply because, you know, the world is a different place now, and with the ability and capability that folks have to self-produce, to do things on a smaller scale and reach a broader audience, you know, with the nature of radio and the whole industry in terms of how music is populated, it's allowing for a lot of creativity that, you know, you didn't used to see when it was largely controlled by a smaller group of people.
Oh, that's a whole different show we could talk about right now, Scott.
It definitely is. But for me, that's really exciting because what that means is that folks like myself and many, many others have an opportunity to say, well, I may not, you know, I may not be exactly like A, B, and C who came before me, but this is what I have to offer, and it fits in very well. And so we're seeing a lot of great and really wonderfully talented new artists come out with a sound that is a little different, and it's pushing the industry in different ways, and it's pushing the envelope and creating new sounds that we really haven't heard before.
Yeah, and all it takes is one of these particularly creative folks to be thinking out of the box, create a absolute hailstorm of success, and you'll see a lot of other doors open, just like a domino effect. Thank God.
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, I think it's a tremendously exciting time. I think with the opportunity that people have now, just to get their voice out there, and regardless of what that voice might be, you know, you're seeing so many different influences now from hip hop and R&B to rock and other reggae influences come into jazz. And it's not that they're disrupting the mainstream. It's just that they're adding to the flavor.
Yeah. It's really exciting that there is a large crop of young people who revere what has happened in the past and want to embellish that and take that into a whole different audience that wouldn't have listened to jazz unless they had been the ones to introduce them. It's really
sure.
Crazy.
Yeah,
love that. Yeah. Well, I know that you heard me say that I had a little trilogy going on about what I wanted to play because
I did,
you are,
yes.
Yeah. So you heard Flurry, and I thought, oh, that's the beginning of the relationship. It's so exciting. And then I thought of Falling in Love, where you have these moments. One of the gentlemen that's usually in our chat room that's not here today is Norman, and he always says, "For real." but it's the for real moment when you know this is really something special and the courtship is getting serious. So I thought of Song for Leah.
There you go.
Now, tell me about the story on that.
Well, you know, the Song for Leah, and I love your interpretation of it, is really the only sort of slow or down-tempo song on the record. It certainly is about a love in my life, although it's slightly maybe a different kind of courtship than you might talk about
right.
on Valentine's Day in that sense. But I have two daughters, and my oldest daughter is Leah. And I've put songs, two songs on the record, one of them each for my two daughters. And they
yeah.
really begin to capture the essence of who these beautiful girls are. And Song for Leah was written for her, and it really captures the beautiful spirit that, that Leah brings to our family. She is a wonderful, wonderful daughter and has a very kind and generous temperament, and that's captured in Song for Leah.
There's always something special when a composer writes a song with a name in the title. It's always special.
Mm-hmm.
And this just got me right in the heart. This is Scott Allman from Generations. This is Song for Leah on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You are going to love this.
Absolutely beautiful. Just adrift. The chat room is really listening. Usually there's a flurry of activity. But everyone is just listening. That is so beautiful. Scott Allman is my guest. Ah, beautiful. Generations is the name of the CD, which just debuted in December, and that is Song for Leah. And I thought, okay, we've got Camille's Joy, we've got Song for Leah. Now, I know that those are two names that had significance to you, but thank you for clarifying that Leah is your daughter.
You bet.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And as I was listening, Scott, I was seeing a movie come alive when I was hearing the song with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's something that you might want to consider, that you've got this really amazing and big gift. Maybe you are going to be tapped to do movies and TV songs.
Yeah, you know, that's very kind of you to say. I have for years really enjoyed, as a listener, just the film soundtrack, you know, as a genre. I have certainly some of my favorite composers are in the film world. There may be some of that rubs off a little bit in the type of jazz that I do as well.
Yeah. Wow. It's exciting to see the beginnings of this for you. I mean, you have lived a really full life, and you have your own company, but now this is a second chapter. So.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. This is one of those things that you sort of hear often. People say, "Well, I never thought it would happen to me," both good and bad. And this is certainly falls within that in the sense of I never really thought this would happen to me. So.
And what does your wife and what do your daughters say about you right now?
I have a terrific and beautiful and very supportive wife. Who really loves what I do and is behind me all the way. And I honestly couldn't do this without that kind of family support behind it. My daughters think it's a kick. They just think that I'm goofy and it's all a bunch of fun. They enjoy it too. You know, it's a great joy for me to bring them into the studio and we write silly songs together, and I get them singing and doing fun stuff. And that's really the joy, is just to get them creative and enjoying music, as a wonderful form of expression.
Yeah, that's so good that you're able to do that. My gosh, that means everything. We talk often about the lack of or the going away of jazz education or any kind of musical instruction in schools.
Yeah.
It really does mean a lot. And actually,
my daughter, she's taking piano now, and it's fun to watch that spark come alive in her too. And I don't know that she, like myself, she certainly doesn't love it, is not passionate about her lessons or anything like that. But it's great to see her, take on a musical challenge and work at it and be able to accomplish it and feel proud about it.
And did you have you said you had lessons when you were a young lad.
Yeah.
Now that you can see, as you're an adult, how those lessons came into play, you might have been kicking and screaming with those lessons, but did you think that when you were going into architectural studies at U of P that that came to come back at you in a positive way? I'm glad I had those lessons because I think that I can understand what I'm studying a little bit more.
Yeah, the lessons are good, and this obviously translates to many different disciplines in all of our lives, but they're great as a foundation just for music. And I think everybody, whether you're just an appreciator or it's something you want to pursue, should at least have some kind of foundation in music. It's just one of the most beautiful global languages we have, and a lot of, people, young people these days are picking up guitars, they're picking up, different instruments and piano, and I think that just as a foundation for life is a great thing to have. But beyond that, it's a great tool and a skill that translates to so many other things. When you take on a challenge and something that's difficult, you're able to practice at it and conquer that. That goes a long way in terms of forming, you know, character. And yeah, so for me, certainly that translated into a bit of a work ethic that, you know, I try and carry out and certainly try and bestow upon, you know, my kids and those around me.
And actually, you know, we've discussed this a number of times too, but and I wish that I had put more thought into it as far as going back through the years and me being a part of the Catholic school system that really didn't have that kind of education. That was, well, there's a lot that can be said about that, but my son, he is so musically inclined at the age of 19 and actually picked up when he was little a way to plunk out tunes on the piano at a very young age, and also had a tendency to gravitate to guitar. So I'm thinking, you know, we have to get more serious about this in schools, because it's not only providing an oasis for kids as they go through those years, and some have even suggested, my gosh, when you get angry in your everyday walk in life, you can always go behind closed doors to your house and get involved in music, and that takes the stress away.
Sure.
Number one. And then number two, it makes things easier if you're making a transition. If you know about music and you know how to write music, it goes hand in hand with a lot of mathematical skills as well. So these are life skills.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, as we've talked earlier, there's certainly links between, you know, the creative arts of music and design in other ways, and mathematics is right there. I mean, music, you know, if you want to get real technical about it, is math in terms of how it breaks down. And even jazz, which is very, you know, can be very free form and fluid, always has meter and some very complex rhythmic, you know, parts of it. And so, yeah, it gets kids' brains just working that way and counting that way.
It's funny, Scott. The other day I saw a video that somebody had sent to me, and I had seen this before, but I really paid attention this time. It was Esperanza Spalding and Gretchen Parlato counting down Brazilian rhythms to get on the same beat.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and I thought, you have never noticed this before, Trish, but this has everything to do with math. And making sure that when you look at each other, you know rhythms and you know how to get into that groove that only some serious study can permit you to do the free form later.
That's right. And even, you know, my kids in school, they study things like pattern and rhythm outside of music, you know, in terms of shape and color and form and all these other things. And that works backwards, too, because then when you get into music, those things come to play in music itself.
Yeah. It's fascinating that the whole subject, and you're a great person to discuss this with because of what you have studied in the way of architecture. My gosh. I'm so tickled because I'm seeing so many situations that are going to change you. To talk to you this time next year is going to be a whole different ballpark.
Well, you know, I can only hope. I would love to talk with you this time next year, and hopefully we have some good stories to tell.
Oh, there's no doubt. And this is the third part of our trilogy because I told you that when I was thinking about a special person for Valentine's Day, you came to mind, and it just so happened that we had begun this communication, and I had Generations in my hand. And I'm listening again and going, oh, I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling so positive, and I'm feeling that there is hope for love. And then I got to anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And that just hit me. I mean, I have to confess that I wept a little.
Oh, dear.
No, it was good because I thought, you know what? I mean, this is for every woman or every man who wished they had a solid relationship. This is the kind of vibe that you want to feel when you're having an anniversary. So that was my third part to the trilogy. When you know it's etched in stone, deal done, you're going to be with this person.
Yeah, you know, Anniversary is it is one of my favorite songs, and as we talked about, just in terms of the diversity of the jazz world now, you know, I think it's on the edge. It's certainly not straight up jazz, and has some different instrumentation and some different feeling to it. But it really is, you know, it's kind of the anthem of the project, if you will.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we wanted something that would have sort of that soaring feeling to it. And, you know, I'm from the Midwest here in Chicago. We have a lot of wide open spaces here in the Midwest. And so I think a lot of my music, you know, subliminally, I've brought that kind of Midwest feel to it, where there's a lot of broad expanse and space within the songs. And I think Anniversary is a great example where you can really feel some of that space in the music.
Wide brushstrokes, unlimited joy.
Exactly.
I love that. This is something that we have to do. It's just me, because I was just thinking of a trilogy, because, you know, it's Valentine's Day and we're all feeling romantic, but this was like the pinnacle of, I am feeling love. I am feeling this vastness of joy. Scott Ullman is our guest. He's right here from Generations. This is called Anniversary.
Thank you.
I just love that song so much. That is from our guest, Scott Allman, on keyboard. Just beautiful. And it just defines the very essence of the title of the show, Hybrid Jazz. Because,
thank you, Grace. Thank you.
You know what? Honestly, Scott, it is like classical meets ambiance meets rock meets fusion meets jazz.
Yeah. And you know
Man.
What? You just listed all of my favorite kind of music.
That is so wild. That was an exercise in an absolute ear bliss.
Oh, boy, I'm blushing now. Thank you.
Well, look, and you know what? If you think you're blushing now, wait till I tell, especially the ladies who are listening live or via archive. If you haven't seen a picture of Scott on this CD jacket, you just wait, because this is a very handsome man we're talking about right here.
Oh, now I am going to blush.
Yeah, well, you should. And then when you do your performances live, you know, ladies do not know what to expect, and they're going to go, oh! It's so cool.
Maybe we should
so
just
cool.
hand out blindfolds at the door. I don't
no!
know.
Oh, it's so cool when everything comes together, man. That song, I'm really, it really is. It's the anthem for generations, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is. And you know, even when we were in the studio, we would sort of joke about that, you know, that it was this very anthemic, had this air about it. But I'm thrilled with how it turned out.
It's like, you know what, in a spiritual connotation. And I think that you'll understand this. It's almost like the Lazarus effect, that song. It's almost like, you know, the awakening of Jesus from the tomb. And this is the music that plays in the background.
Well, I don't know if I can take a better compliment than that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it just hit me, this that whole title of the Lazarus effect. And we really need to have those kinds of songs these days that heal people's spirits. I don't know what it is. I can only surmise what it is in you that is able to produce that healing quality, because I know that you're a really spiritual person. And that comes out as well. That just takes over the whole flavor of this CD, because there is not a down track on this.
No, there's not, and like I said at the beginning of our hour together, I think music is a great medium for people to be lifted up and,
yep.
and encouraged and inspired, you know, that's jazz in particular has a certain innate upbeatness to it, we're certainly going to continue to try and do that.
What would your dream be now that you're looking at this vast horizon of possibilities? What would you like to see come true more than most anything with your career in this regard?
Gosh, you know, that's a great and terrifying question. You know,
yeah.
As I said, we kind of went into this with no expectations, and we're taking it every step as it comes. My dream would be, honestly, to continue to be able to do this, and to continue to be able to create music that, people will respond to. I don't have aspirations of one form or success or another. For me, this is what I love to do. And if I am able to continue doing it, that would be tremendous. It's hard work and takes a lot of time and energy and other things, but it's a gift. It's sort of a gift from me to myself to be able to keep creating music like this, and I certainly hope that I can.
I think that you have to. You have to do this now, Scott, because you've teased us with the promise of this amazing person who will be with us now in contemporary jazz. And you don't even have to be labeled as that necessarily. You can do whatever you want. We were just talking about Esperanza a while ago and
sure.
about how she refuses to be boxed. You can do anything. Your talent is far-reaching. So hopefully you'll know that, and you will always allow yourself to express yourself the way you hear it and not the way somebody would have you interpret it.
You know, that's I certainly appreciate that, and you know, I do love the expression of music, and it comes in so many different forms, like you've said.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, when it was a number of years ago, you know, I had always carried music around, but quite frankly didn't really know what to do with it at this point in my life, and came to the conclusion that, you know, maybe I just needed to hang it up. But then I kind of got beyond that and came to the realization that even if the music was just for me, you know, even if it never got beyond my door, that was okay, because it was still sort of a spiritual uplifting medium for myself and my family. And I think it was having to get to that place and then get beyond it when these doors started to open.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled that, you know, the response is what it has been. And like I said, my dream would just be to continue to be able to do it.
Bless your heart. Well, you're going to have your CD release party, and that's going to be hot and happening on March the 10th. And tell us where. Yep.
It's going to be at the Two Brothers Roundhouse, which is in Aurora, Illinois, a western
okay.
suburb of Chicago. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock to 11 for our show. And Darren Ron's going to come in. We have some other
Woo-hoo!
Terrific jazz guys that are going to be there. Phil Denny, a great saxophone player from Michigan, is coming in to play with us. It's going to be a great night. I'm very excited about it.
Oh, that's awesome. And folks can see all that they need to see, because bless his heart, he updates his website, scottallmanmusic.com.
Yes, we do.
That's so great. And folks can buy their music from your website, correct?
You can. You can buy the CD right off the website. It's also available on iTunes and Amazon, CD Baby, most anywhere people would want to be shopping.
Excellent. That's great. Scott, thank you so much for taking all this time. You are great.
Oh, my pleasure, Trish. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it was a wonderful day to spend Valentine's Day. This is like the coolest show, because you were a big part of it, and your music just spells everything that somebody wants to say to their Valentine. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It sure has. And we'll be talking down the road.
You bet. I look forward to it, Trish.
All right, Scott, thank you so much.
All right, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Scott. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife.
Thanks. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. That is just awesome. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? We're just going to ease on down the road here and tell you that we have some special plans for you on Thursday. One of the premier guitarists in the region, and actually way beyond now, also a multitasker, because he is also a teacher. Mott Mosley is going to be here on Thursday, and we'll have some really wonderful music for you. I hope you have a fabulous Valentine's Day. For those of you who are, shall we say, coupled up, have a wonderful night. For those of us who are single, happy Singles Awareness Day. God bless everybody that was here today, especially Scott Allman. What a treat he is. Oh, that's great. Griselda, Micah, Debbie, Matt, all the folks who went on nameless, that's cool. We'll see you on Thursday. God bless you.